Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and I am not flying solo this week. He's back. He is back, and I'll tell you, it's been a great start to this show. He is Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Pastor, how are you doing?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing awesome, man. Good to be back with you. I missed you. I missed being on the program, and I love what you're doing. Keep it up.
You know, the numbers are through the roof the last... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
They really got up there.
I'm just kidding, Pastor. I missed you, too. It's just not the same in here without you, so I'm really glad you're back. Our special guest today, he is a former multi-sport athlete at West Point, football and baseball, former Cincinnati Reds minor leaguer, and I'm excited about today's show. He is Josh Holden. Josh, how are you today?
I'm well, man. It's good to be on the show.
I'm so happy that we were able to get a few minutes with you, and I don't know if the timing could have been better. Later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the national anthem and what's going on in Major League Sports and NFL, and I'm sure in the NBA it's coming, and we're going to get your take. Being a West Point guy, I got a feeling I know where you land on that, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Josh, let's start with where you grew up, and let's talk a little bit about high school time, stuff like that, sports you played.
Yes, I played football and baseball in a kind of a suburban area in Northeast Ohio, about 30 minutes south of Cleveland, in a town called Hudson. And, you know, very, very, you know, normal childhood. Both of my parents were teachers and, you know, had a great upbringing with them, and accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 16 years old. There's a guy named John Saucier who kind of had a little trick on me. He invited me to a Lions-Falcons game in Detroit, and it was a bunch of other athletes that were my age. I think I was you know 16 at the time, and he took us all into a hotel and had one of the Falcons players come in and talk to us for a little bit, and then John asked us if we wanted to ask Jesus to be our Savior. So that was when I got saved, and that's
I love it, man. We jumped right to it, boy.
Right to his testimony. You know why?
I love that, Josh. I love it.
That's because that's what's most important. When I asked him about his high school days, I want to know what you know, if he's playing football, basketball, baseball, running track. He goes right to John Saucier, who's been a guest on this show, by the way.
Yeah.
Really good one, in fact. And he comes. Who was the Falcon player, by the way?
I believe it was Ed Smith. I don't know if you remember that name, but he was a tight end back in the day, back in like 94, I want to say.
That's not back in the day, brother. Back in you want to know about back in the day. Man, you got a couple of men in the studio here, they'll talk about back in the day.
Bob Hayes.
I wasn't even thin and good looking in 96. It was 70s when I was thinner and good looking. That was back in the day, young man. Don't be telling me 96 is back in the day. Oh, man, that's awesome. Hey, Josh, when growing up, did you attend church with your parents much?
No, I didn't. And, you know, it was one of those things that I didn't, you know, it was sort of a, hey, we feel bad about we're not going to church, right? And so, you know, we're going to go. And, you know, it was you know, a great environment we were in with the church that we went to. But you know, there was really, it was more of a, I'm going to endure this Sunday rather than I'm going to enjoy this Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, I think where a lot of Christians struggle is, you know, they find places that they're like, oh, this is so boring. You know, I really can't connect with any of these people. And God didn't make church to be boring. He made it to be fun. He made it to be a place to connect with other people. And I think that's where, you know, as I've gotten older, you know, finding, you know, a great church to be in that does that exact thing, that connects people to what, you know, to other Christians, to other non-Christians, and then to what their God-given purpose is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of believers kind of fall off and say, hey, this is maybe not for me. And, you know, I would encourage people that, you know, that place is out there that, you know, makes the faith and makes Jesus and makes church exciting.
Yeah, Josh, one thing, too, that I would add on to that is, you know, so many people hear what a guy says, but I love being able to just come back, and I think believers are looking for this when they come to church, is what does the Bible say? And to really be able to focus on, hey, here's what God says, not this is what, you know, this preacher or that guy thinks. This is exactly what the Bible says. And
absolutely.
And I hope, Josh, if you're ever in the Milwaukee area, that you'll join us at Brookside, come back, sit with Mike, because Mike makes it interesting for me. Okay?
I sit in the back to the right, Josh. Brookside Baptist, come on over. I've got a chair for you. And I normally, it about 2 minutes before the service starts, a 6'8" guy sits in front of me. Pastor doesn't even know I'm there. He kind of looks around the guy, but yeah, I'm telling you, if you get here in the next 2 years, we'll be in the Book of Romans. I'll tell you that, man.
Well, you know, it's actually pretty interesting because our current pastor is a native of Milwaukee.
Oh, really?
He's in Cleveland, Ohio right now. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I have a son that is in Akron, and he played for Mike here through his high school years, played basketball. And he's pastoring in Akron at Grace Church in Akron.
Okay.
He just had Terry Bowden and the whole football team come. You'll enjoy this story, Mike. I haven't even seen you tell you this. So we had Terry Bowden come on the program. We've had his dad on. We've had his brother Tommy on.
Yep.
Well, that sets up. Kurt goes out and sees him and says, hey, you're on Faith in the Zone, and da-da-da-da. And Terry says, hey, I'm looking for these guys to go to church. And so Keith sets it up. They're going to have breakfast and everything. And he calls me and goes, Dad, what do I do, man? I mean, because it's a multi-staff church, and it's kind of a large mega church. He goes, some of the staff's ticked that they're coming at the 10:15 service or whatever. And I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I mean, we're feeding them breakfast. We got 135 guys coming.
Oh, man.
And he said, they're all ticked about it. And I said, just like the four guys that brought their crippled friend that was on the pallet to Jesus, they had to unroof the roof to get him there. I said, you will always have obstacles when you want to bring people to Jesus. So I said, just suck it up and get them there and set up some more folding chairs or whatever. But I said, you'll always have obstacles. I said, but just get them there. And that's pretty neat, though.
Who is the pastor at your church? What is his name?
His name is Noah Nickel.
Well, I need to look him up. I don't know him.
Noah Nickel.
And the church that I go to is King's Church in Lakewood, Ohio.
That's awesome. Okay. I'll look up Noah. Does he say good things about my fine city of Milwaukee?
Oh, he is a devout Green Bay Packers fan. So
that's what
we don't
I'm talking
about. Hold on.
Are you a Bengals or a Browns fan?
Oh, I'm a Browns fan, unfortunately.
Well,
that has been a tough road for you.
That was
sorry,
a
brother.
Tough loss for the Bengals the other day, and not a lot of good pro football in your neck of the woods right now.
No, we rebuilding is kind of our mantra, so we embrace it and we wear it like a gold chain.
Well, yeah, hey, two really fine Wisconsin boys on that Cleveland Browns team. Joe Schobert, who's really good. Joe Thomas, obviously, maybe one of the best left tackles ever to play the game. A couple of the Browns. They're taking care of their business in Cleveland. Those are some good men.
Yeah, no, they. You know what? The organization, I think, is doing the right thing. You know, obviously, when you tear down an organization to the studs, success isn't going to happen overnight. But you know, I think that they've got a direction. They've got a vision. And, you know, it's just going to take some time to for that to come to fruition.
You know, Joe Schobert, who's a really good, I think he's playing probably inside linebacker now. He was outside linebacker for a while. He played at Waukesha West High School, Pastor. And he was going to, it wasn't Northern Illinois, might have been Southern Illinois, somewhere else, but he always dreamt about playing at Wisconsin. He was playing up in the WFCA All-Star Game, which is in June or July up in Oshkosh. And the coaches up there called the staff at Wisconsin, said, look, this is the best player on the field. You guys are missing out on this kid. And they ended up offering him a preferred walk-on. He went to Wisconsin, immediately got a scholarship when they found out what they were missing. And he's now playing for the Cleveland Browns.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Hey, let's talk, if we can, Josh, a little bit about your decision then at the end of high school. Did you have some options on where to go to play sports? I know you were a football and a baseball player. Did you have some college offers at that point?
Yeah, you know what? I was, a slow white kid, about 5'9", 190 pounds. And, I had some light interest from some MAC schools and then also some Division III programs. But I also had an opportunity to try out with the New York Yankees. And, they kind of came to me and said, hey, we were interested in drafting you, but if you're going to West Point, we're not going to waste the draft pick. And, at that point I was, I guess this was a mature decision for an 18-year-old to say, hey, maybe I should go get a college education first. And so, I ended up going to West Point, and, it was, an easy decision for me at the time, and definitely looking back, it was the right one for me. Yeah, I mean, being able to, go to a first-class academic institution to take sort of the burden of tuition off of my parents, it sort of made it a no-brainer for me.
Hey, Josh, last question before we get to a break. Another show that I do here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, is a high school coaches show, and each week we highlight a true student athlete. Somebody that takes care of their business on the court or on the field, in the classroom, in the community. To go to West Point, obviously the word student athlete was something that that you strived at, right? You understood that it was a privilege to play sports and took care of all your business in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. West Point is, I would argue, a different environment than your normal college setting. Not only are you a student athlete, but you're also you're in the Army, and so there's sort of that military aspect to the experience. So it's very unique and something I'm very proud of, and will wear my ring with pride for the rest of my life.
Pastor, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, I think you need to let Josh know a little bit about Kurt, about your son and what he's doing, and also talk to Josh about his faith and how it was in the military to be able to continue his walk and walk worthy. We're talking to Josh Holden, former West Point multi-sport athlete. You don't hear a lot of those guys at that level, football and baseball. Also played with the Cincinnati Reds in their minor league system, and we're going to talk to him about that later in the show. He was the first person to exercise the Army's alternative service option, and we'll find out a little bit more about that. Again, Josh Holden, our special guest. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm okay.
Yeah, that's good. Our special guest is Josh Holden, former West Point multi-sport athlete, man, football and baseball. former Cincinnati Reds minor leaguer. We left off segment one talking a little bit about West Point and the Army, and I know, Pastor, you're awfully proud of your son, Kurt.
Yeah, he's just about done in his training with the Rangers. And so we're looking forward to that. And so
it's the Army Rangers, yeah, not the Texas Rangers,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, Army Rangers.
Yeah, it's good.
So, if I can jump, in and just say something, that is a very, very big deal, and you should be very, very proud. And that is the Army's most challenging school that they have.
So yeah, I'm getting ready. You know, we have missions conference the week that he graduates, and I told Kathy, I said, you know, I don't ever really, I love missions. I love what we try to do with missions. I told Kathy, I said, hey, if we need to go and be there for that graduation, because he did ask us. He said,
you need to go.
Yeah, we're going to plan.
Ken, I will buy your ticket if you have any waffling back or forth.
No, yeah, I'll help buy it too. I'm telling you.
I appreciate it, Josh. We're going to get down there and spend some time with him, because I can tell it is a big deal. I mean, what he's gone through. And, I mean, you went through boot camp, right? I mean, even though you're at West Point, don't they take you through boot camp?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's what's called cadet basic training. It's kind of a combination of boot camp and learning how to be a West Point cadet.
Well, he's in with several. He said, Dad, it is one of the best leadership training programs in America. He said, there's a ton of West Point grads that are here with me. He goes, I got some really close friends that graduated from West Point. So, so it's been good. And I don't take away from it either, Josh. I mean, I know it is intense, and all he wants to do is protect our country. He goes, Dad, Dad, I am so pumped to be an American and to be a soldier in the U.S. Army.
Hey, Josh, and you're right. This is an incredible thing that Kurt's done. What makes it even more incredible is where he's come from. He was a squirrely little fella, Josh. I coached him, and I'm telling you, 30-some-odd years of coaching, not many guys got out of under my skin the way his youngest son, Kurt, did. And he took so much pride in it. He took so much pride into making Coach McGivern turn red and get upset, and then he'd give me that smile.
This is what parents tell me, that the things that their kids like really get under their skin about is what makes them successful. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds like that might be the case here.
Well, I'm telling you, he was the youngest of the four boys. One of my favorite Kurt Keltner stories is the older boys used to pick on him all the time. And then all of a sudden he came back from being gone for a year. And it's like he spent the entire year 20 hours a day lifting weights. Because he came back as like Hulk. And I looked at him, and his brother, I said, Kurt, how you doing? He said, good, sir. Good, coach. How you doing? I said, good. I looked at his brothers. I said, you guys still pick on him? And they said, not by ourselves. Man, if all three of us are here, we might, but not like we used to. So, he was awesome. Was that a direction, Josh, that you ever thought about going?
Yeah, it was. Sort of took a baseball detour in my Army career. But, you know, that's definitely something that I look back and I say, hey, I kind of wish that I had done that. And I'm sure that, you know, everybody has a point in life where they say, hey, I wish I had done something. But, yeah, for sure. Think about it every so often.
Hey, can you talk a little bit about, and I don't need you to get specific by any means, but maybe just what it was like. You were 2 tours, and what it was like in Iraq, and when you were over there, I'm wondering what your memories of that time is like.
Yeah, it was like the Wild West, man. It was a country that was trying to find itself, and people that were just kind of along for the ride, and Iraqis. You know, they are extremely, extremely generous and really kind people, and just unfortunately caught in a really, really tough situation. And, you know, to be over there and to be able to do our best to help them was really an honor. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you look back and it's one of those seminal moments in your life that you say, hey, I'm really glad I did that. And, you know, I'm really glad that I came home and, you know, I'm able to be here and have a good job and a beautiful wife, and I'm just extremely blessed.
Josh, I want to tell you, and I think I would concur here with Mike and our listeners, we want to thank you for serving. That was
no doubt.
That's no easy task with what you did, and I'm sure you sensed even through that time how, as a believer, God was protecting you and how God was directing you, and our other soldiers, you know, even those who never yet have made that decision to trust Christ. Did you have some opportunities to share your faith there?
I did. You know, I think that, you know, you interact with your soldiers on a daily basis, and you know they see how you act. They see, you know, that you go to church, and they kind of, you know, they hold you to a higher standard than they would, you know, to their peers or to other soldiers. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, opportunities to, you know, mold people and help them understand sort of where I'm coming from, and, you know, hopefully help them to have an encounter too that, you know, the Holy Spirit changes their life.
You know, Josh, we could have some high school kids or even younger kids listening that are playing ball, and let's say they know the Lord, and as you know, we've talked on the program before, you know, Mike has mentioned, you know, sometimes even men, we get a little nervous with doing something, stepping out like that. What would be some words of encouragement you would give maybe to some of our listeners who know the Lord and about the stance and the stand they take there for Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that if you're not in a local church, go find one today.
Amen.
And if you are in a local church and you're not serving, call your pastor and tell him that you want to serve tomorrow. And
well, I like that.
It's a double amen. Man, I've never seen Pastor Ken smile like that, Josh.
I'm standing up right now, Josh. Yes, I'm right there with you, ready to give you a standing O.
You know he's going to be looking at his cell phone all day Sunday to see if anybody calls him.
Well, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, you have to look at Jesus and say, hey, what did Jesus do? He could have come down and been like, hey, I'm going to tell you, everybody who's under me, what to do, and I'm the man, because he was the man. He is the man. But he said, no, I'm going to serve mankind.
Yeah.
And, you know, he set that example. And, you know, as the local church, as the church body, you know, that's the way that, you know, we are hardwired to operate, is to serve each other, to serve in the local church. And when I say serve, I'm not talking about, you know, adding 30 hours to your week and, you know, making it a second job and all these things. I'm talking about, you know, understanding what your gifts are, what you're good at, and how that can contribute to furthering the message that people do. And, you know, that people, and you know, the other thing too, I don't want to get into sort of a philosophical discussion here, but, you know, tithing is another thing that we talk about, right?
Oh yeah.
And I think a lot of people who are saved and who have the Christian faith don't tithe, either because, you know, oh, I, you know, I can't afford it, or, you know, I give a 20 here and there. But, you know, in the Bible it says, you know, your heart is where your money is.
That's right.
And, you know, you and your contribution to, you know, the local body and the local church is what keeps that church running. And, you know, God knows that, and that's why he said, hey, I want you to give your first 10%. I want you to give your first fruits. And he did that so that, number one, your heart would be with that local church. But number two, he wants to bless you by doing that. And, you know, I guarantee you that if you start tithing, if you start giving your first 10%, even maybe 11% or 12%, and we call those offerings above the tithe, you know, you're going to see God do some amazing things in your life, not only with your family and those other things, but financially as well. And it's really kind of a backwards thought, right? Like, I give my money away and I'm going to get more. Well, yeah.
Hey, do you want to come and preach this Sunday?
Yeah, come on. Hey, I got an airline ticket from where you're at right here to Brookfield, Wisconsin. Hey, tell us a little bit. We only have a short amount of time here in this segment. King's Church, Pastor Noah Nickel, again, a Milwaukee guy. Is it a bigger church, smaller church?
Oh, we're a baby church. We just had our year anniversary yesterday, or on Sunday.
That's awesome.
And we have some really, really devoted folks that came in very, very early and had all of these pictures of people that, you know, we've taken pictures of during the time. And we had the number 281 sort of plastered all over the church. And 281 represents 281 people that made life decisions, so that either decided to make Jesus their Lord and Savior for the first time or recommitted their lives to Jesus. So really exciting stuff. We actually had 450 people at that service on Sunday, and we're currently renting a space, and we are believing that we're going to find a permanent space here very soon.
Sounds good.
Man, that's what an exciting time to be part of King's Church. I mean, to see the Lord work in this, and to see the kind of numbers. 281 is a great number. And I mean, it doesn't surprise me, since a Milwaukee guy is leading that church, that it's going the right direction. I'm just kidding with that. Good for you guys. Were you at a different church before King's Church opened up, or how did you get over there?
Yeah, so Pastor Noah, who is the guy from Milwaukee, he came from a place called Faith Family Church down in Canton, Ohio. Hmm. And when we had first moved back to Ohio, that was where we started going to church. And you know, there's probably about 3,000 parishioners that go there, and you know, that's where we plant our roots. And Pastor Noah had a heart to plant a church in downtown Cleveland. So we, you know, being Clevelanders ourselves and commuting an hour to Canton, we're really excited that
you're close to church.
Yeah,
he's going to shorten our commute a little bit. But you know, it's just really, really a neat thing to watch people come in and say, "Hey, church is kind of fun. Music's good. You know, the message is great. You know, I feel the Holy Spirit here." It's really, really fun to watch.
Hey, Josh, we're about out of time. Chapels, military chapels, you were pretty faithful going to all of that during your stint in the service? Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
Hey, what the Indians, are they – I know they finally lost after winning for about a month and a half. You feel pretty good about their chance to get back the World Series. You're still having some sleepless nights over last year, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, we pretty much took it on the chin last year. But my hope is two things. Number one, that we bottle up some of these hits for the playoffs.
Yep.
And then our rotation stays healthy. If we can do those two things, I think we'll be okay.
Well, I'm tired of the Cincinnati Reds beating my Milwaukee Brewers. Had it not been for the Reds here lately, the Brewers would be in the playoffs. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. He is Josh Holden. He, again, a West Point guy, football, baseball, and he played with the Cincinnati Reds minor league system. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Sorens Ford of Brookfield. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Well, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, Pastor Ken Keltner, our special guest, Josh Holden. He is a former Cincinnati Reds minor leaguer, went to West Point, played football and baseball at West Point. In fact, he was an awfully good athlete, man, at West Point. Doing some research, he was your running back, led the Patriot League in hitting. Was it your senior year?
Junior year.
Yep. And man, did some really good things playing sports at West Point. Josh, we're right in the middle of all of this. You know, what NFL players are going to do during the national anthem, and I for one thought it was kind of dying down a little bit, and our president kind of rekindled the fire on that thing, and now it's you can't turn on the radio, turn on the TV without hearing somebody's opinion on this. I have my own opinion. I'm sure Pastor has his opinion as well. But somebody like you that served two tours, was a West Point graduate, I'm just wondering what your opinion on that is.
Yeah, you know, it's a very, very difficult situation. And, you know, there's a lot of lot of things that go into it. And I think the first thing is to not minimize what, you know, what the struggle is for people of color in our country. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, if you're not a minority, you really can't know what it's like. And, you know, I think the challenge to myself and maybe to some other people would be to say, hey, you know, go find somebody that doesn't look like you and go listen to what they have to say and, you know, lather, rinse, and repeat. And, you know, I think that's the first thing. The second thing, though, I think I read a statistic that only 0.4% of our American population has ever served in the military. And, you know, that's a different dynamic than has ever existed in our country before. And, you know, I think that contributes to some of the misunderstanding of what our flag stands for. You know, it doesn't stand for a president. It doesn't stand for a particular, you know, person in office. It stands for all the people that came before us that, you know, helped keep this country free. So, you know, I think there's, you know, a lot to this discussion, to this issue. And, you know, it certainly bears having that conversation.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I agree with everything you said. I'm struggling because if for me personally, if what the message is, I think we're losing the message at this point. All anybody is talking about is, are they kneeling? Are they standing? Are they in the locker room? Are they holding hands? Are they crossing arms? But I think the message of where this started and what it meant has been lost. And the other part that I struggle with, guys, is if there was a Green Bay Packer that said, why, they asked him, why are you kneeling? He said, for Puerto Rico. For Puerto Rico. And so I'm kind of lost as to what is the message now? Can we get back to that? And can we sit down and have a, I don't think we can have an honest conversation about it. To be honest with you, Josh, I don't. I don't think that people can be 100% honest with each other about this kind of stuff. Because what will happen is there'll be an argument and somebody will call the other a racist and everything gets turned down. That's the end of it. The conversation is over. And so I don't know what the solution is, but I think I know what the problem is. And we can't even have the conversation about it now. I drive two young men to school every day, two African-American kids, Key Anthony Blake and his brother Anthony. And one's a freshman in high school, one's a senior in high school. And the last 2 days, this is all we've talked about. And the younger, he's a freshman in high school. I said, what's your thought on this? And he said, well, I think we have a freedom. You know, we live in America. We should be free to talk about this and should be able to say this and do this. And I said, well, here's my feeling. If you're a Chicago Bear and you want to go to a Blackhawk game, a Cubs game, a Bulls game, a White Sox game, and you want to shave your head and rip your shirt off and kneel during the anthem, then go ahead and do it. But at that point, you're not on company time. But if I own this football team, you don't have to sing, but you have to stand. And I'll tell you why, and I would tell them my feelings on it. And I don't know if then we get to second base, because then they're upset with what the rule is, the guys that want to kneel, and I don't know how we get around it, Josh. I don't.
Josh, you know, I think. Oh, go ahead.
You have probably seen this before, Josh, but when my brother graduated from the Army Rangers, I went to his graduation, and they had the Star Spangled Banner, and, you know, I'm just in civilian clothes. I'm a civilian, you know, and I'm just there for, you know, the ceremony and all. And, I mean, these guys were, man, statue-like, you know, correct with the flag and saluting the flag. And I kid you not, I have never forgotten this day. The colonel or the lieutenant who came up to give the address, he ripped the civilians that were there. He said, are you telling me? He goes, let me give you a little etiquette when you hear the Star Spangled Banner and you see the flag. He said, even as a civilian, your hand is supposed to be over your heart. And I tell you what, he got my attention like no one's ever got my attention about the Star Spangled Banner and the flag. And I'm always amazed when I go to a ball game, you can see those that have an understanding or have a military background, you know, because my whole family was military, my dad, my brother. And I picked it up real quick that takes, I mean, your allegiance goes to that. And that's how I grew up. And I mean, so this has just been shocking to me.
Yeah. It's been definitely, something that it's difficult. I mean, there's a lot of discussion on both sides. And, you know, to relate this back to sort of a biblical point, if you are saved, for instance, and you, you should, in theory, you should want to be obedient because, that's our faith, helps us to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, if we put rules and regulations and say, hey, you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way, that you're getting back to sort of the reason why Jesus came, right? To eliminate all that law and all those requirements that the Jews had to do to please God.
Yeah.
Not to say that, and I'm not saying that, this kneeling is correct. Personally, I don't believe it is, but, I think it comes down to, understanding what the flag stands for. And that, it's not a, you do have a choice whether you want to stand or not, but, if you understand what that flag really does stand for, I think you would.
Mm-hmm. You know what the number one NFL jersey is right now for sale?
I don't.
Kaepernick?
Villanueva. Oh, the guy from Pittsburgh?
From Pittsburgh.
He just stepped back on that.
Yeah.
Well, he said he shouldn't have been out there. He's got to stay with his team.
Yeah.
I it's just hard, man. It's hard. We're going to get back to it. Let's go back to when
was exciting to you,
Josh,
in high school.
No, Josh, what's your favorite verse?
My favorite verse, by Joshua 1:9.
Oh, I love it.
Our
country needs that. Quote that for us.
Yeah, let's quote it.
Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Exactly.
Man. That's an Army boy right there.
Yeah.
Right? That is an Army boy. Yeah. Were your parents, they must have been really proud when you made the decision to go to West Point.
Yeah. Dad's, beating his chest. Mom is really scared.
Yep.
That's the way most.
Exactly. I can concur with that.
Well, your dad was a high school football coach. Did you play for him?
I did.
Well, was that difficult? Yeah, was that a good time for you guys, or was that a difficult time?
It was a great time. There's always kind of tension because, there's Mike, I know you've probably experienced this before, but when there's a coach that has a son that's on a team, there's always a tension that exists that, hey, the kid shouldn't be playing because his dad's the coach, all these different things. And fortunately, by the time I was a senior, those discussions sort of went away.
Right.
But, it was just a great experience to be able to share, a football season with my dad and him being intimately involved with what was going on and sort of being there on the day-to-day and understanding kind of the struggles that I was going through and what our team was going through. And, it's just a really, really cool experience. And I hope one day that, if I ever have kids, that I'd be able to do that as well.
That's awesome. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk quickly about Josh's platform that the Lord has given him. For me personally, to talk to somebody that played football and baseball at West Point, also played in the Cincinnati Reds minor league system, the Lord's given him a great platform to utilize. And we'll get to that on the other side of the break. Our special guest, Josh Holden. Again, former West Point multi-sport athlete and a former minor leaguer with the Cincinnati Reds. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner for Brookside Baptist Church. Special guest Josh Holden. He's a former West Point multi-sport athlete, football and baseball. Played in the Cincinnati Reds minor league system. Josh, I wanted to just have a short segment here. But when you were at West Point and certainly in the minor leagues with the Cincinnati Reds, Lord gave you a great platform to be able to spread his word. Were you able to utilize that platform?
Yeah, absolutely. I think where a lot of Christians struggle is, you know, how do I share my faith? Like, mm-hmm. I feel embarrassed about that. I feel like, you know, I don't know enough doctrine. I'm not, you know, a biblical expert. You know, I shouldn't have the ability to share my faith. But, yeah, when I got to this sort of realization that, hey, there's really only two things that I need. And, the first is, the ability to connect with somebody. So, you can always find something in common with another person that you can say, hey, yeah, I went through that same thing. And, that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, having, a place to take them, a church, for instance, that, they can have an experience. And, one of the things that, we always talk about at church is that church isn't a courtroom. It's not a courtroom. It's a hospital, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm not a judge. I'm not the jury. I'm not here to tell you what you're doing wrong. I'm just a witness. And I'm telling you, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. And, let me take you to a place where maybe you can have an encounter with him as well. And I think that's the best, evangelizing advice that I ever got. Be yourself and, put them in a position where they can have an experience with Jesus.
Yeah, someone once said it was like one beggar telling another beggar where he can find some crumbs. And I always thought that's right on. When I came to know the Lord, man, I'm just thankful someone shared it with me, and I want to share it with someone else that needs to know it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's good stuff, Josh. When you did do that, and I think you're right. I'm really guilty of this. Sometimes we overthink it. And when you talked about not being a biblical scholar and not being real strong sometimes in this area, I think that there's a lot of Christian men that have that same feeling. And when they get into that, where there's a chance the door might open just a little bit, they might not walk through the door because they're afraid of some of the questions they're going to get, rather than to just be comfortable in where their belief is at and try to bring somebody along with them.
Yeah, and I think what you got to remember, too, is that you're not God, you're not the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
So, it's not your job to save somebody. Your only job is to share your story and put them in a position where the Holy Spirit can work. And that's it.
Absolutely.
And I think people put too much pressure on themselves to say, oh, I gotta save this guy. No, man, that's not your job.
Exactly.
You got someone else who does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Josh, you talked earlier about maybe having kids one day. Are you married?
I am married.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Been married for a little over 7 years now.
Man, you got a long way to go, man. Mm-hmm. You got a long way to go to catch Pastor Keltner and his wife, Kathy, and my wife, Terry, and I. We've been at it 30-some years. How long have you been at it?
34.
I think we're around that too.
Yeah, 34.
I better know that, huh?
You bet. Yeah, Mike.
I'm hoping Terry's not listening.
You know the date, don't you?
Yeah, I do know the date. Yeah, June 11th.
Oh, there you go.
I'll tell you guys, if we were in Hollywood, it'd be like 40 years. I'm doing awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, you've tripled most of those marriages.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, you, no doubt.
Hollywood, we're like the long standing couple down there.
Yeah.
Where did you guys meet?
We met in Texas when I was stationed at Fort Hood. I was a young lieutenant, and she was a college student.
And you got her to move to Ohio?
I know. I'm a great salesman.
What man, you're, oh, yeah. you are definitely a great salesman. Hey, we've only got a couple minutes left. Pastor, I know you love asking this.
Yeah, I love asking this question. So, okay, so what's your highlight in sports, whether you were at the Reds or whether it was at West Point? I mean, what was your highlight? You look back that you're going to want to tell your kids one day, you know, that old phrase, you know, the older I get, the better I was. What is it you're going to tell?
Game, play,
yeah,
something.
What was it for you, Josh?
So, you know, it's interesting because it's actually a game that I was injured for. And it was my junior year that we beat Navy. And it was back in 2001. And we just broke the streak this past year in 2016.
Yeah, I watched that one.
Yep. So it was a game that I'd gotten injured the game before and I couldn't play. And that is my athletic highlight in my career, for sure.
Hey, what you always hear about the atmosphere for that game, Josh? Do you remember playing in that game or being part of your freshman year and what that was like?
Oh yeah, I mean it's electric. I mean, you talk about two teams who, you know, desperately want to beat each other, right? And, you know, there's also kind of an undertone that, you know, for the seniors, you know, this is their last opportunity to play college football. And it's almost a seminal growing up moment, right? I mean, now it's no longer we're in school. It's like, this is real. And, you know, as those kids graduate, they're going to be the defenders of our country and taking care of our sons and daughters as we go to war. So I think there's a deeper meaning to that game. Other rivalries in college football.
Well, it's like brother going against brother, isn't it?
I mean, no, not that day.
Not that day. Hey, boys, we've got to get to wrap this thing up. What a good young man, Josh. If you ever get up to the Wisconsin area, please let us know. Pastor Ken Kellner, you know those pastors that make all that money. He'll take us to lunch.
I'll get you a hot dog.
He'll get us a hot dog and a coupon for a small fry. But if you ever come up this way, man, you let us know. Keep up the good work, young man. I wish you the very best, and thank you so much for your time.
Mike, it was a pleasure, and you guys are running a great show here, and just keep doing it. It's awesome.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, Josh.
He's Josh Holden. Pastor, it's good to see you again. I'll see you next week.
You will see me next week, Mike.
That's awesome.
I'll be right here with you.
This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcast, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.